Just making an announcement. Planning commission chairs are open.
Oh, makes sense.
Where'd Craig go?
Oh, he's getting us beer.
He thought that you left so quickly because there was wine or something upstairs with the arts
wine
commission.
Wine tasting upstairs.
Yeah, so where all the fun was.
Well, the arts commission would drink wine.
I put Jessica in charge. Her in charge.
Recording has started.
You want to wait for Mr. Sarver to show back up?
No, he's probably the rest.
Oh, no, that's right. Remember that time?
I like the first one better.
No, I haven't.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I'll back.
All right, it is 6:04 on November 15th to 2023. I'm going to declare the Planning Commission to come to order. Could we have the roll call, please?
Chair Solem?
Here.
Commissioner Bunyan?
Here.
Commissioner Dahl?
Here.
Commissioner Hubler? Commissioner Sarver?
Here.
Commissioner Strauss-Boyd?
Here.
Commissioner Wilkins.
Here.
We did receive an early advance warning that Commissioner Hubler would not be in.
Say again?
Commissioner Hubler informed us that she wasn't going to make the meeting tonight because of a prior.
Okay.
So, we can call for a.
Chair will entertain a motion to excuse Commissioner Hubler. Could you move? Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Guys have it. She's excused. Poll for the next meeting, December 6, 2023. We got show of hands. Dan, we have enough to have a quorum. Approval of minutes for November 1st. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any corrections, additions, deletions?
So I just saw one thing. After the roll call, it says motion approved 7-0. I wasn't sure what that was about.
Traditionally, the chair doesn't vote.
Oh, I don't, that should just be stricken.
I think that was for the roll call.
I was thinking,
though.
Yeah, it would just.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah. Odd information then. The chair doesn't vote. When there's a vote, the chair votes automatically with the affirmative.
Okay.
Unless there's a tie. So.
Commissioner Galato, you're saying there shouldn't have been a motion there with the roll call.
Yeah, it seemed odd.
Public comments and concerns. Nobody signed up. Nobody's in the building. Public hearing, none. Old continuing business, none. New business, the 2023 code maintenance amendments. Jason, would you do the honors?
Yep, this is our annual package. I think the easiest way to do this would be to turn to page. Let me get the right page number here. Page 27 in your packet.
Screen.
So we'll just kind of walk through these. Kitty, these, and I try to pull them up really quick if there's any questions specifically about one. I'll just kind of walk through the amendments. Amendment number one deals with parking, the parking enforcement officer. The amendments to clarify that the parking enforcement officer is required to be employed within the police department. There was a state law change in 2021 or 2022. That's why it's X. I'm still doing the research to get the exact thing. That required that if you have a limited commission, which is what you need to do parking enforcement, you have to be within the police department and gone through police department training. That was a change of state law. So the current code reads it could be anybody in the city, but with that state law change, in order to give them the limited commission, they have to be employed with the police department.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question on that one. So I was looking through it. So it says the chief police can designate one or more employees, but then the rest of the paragraph has it under the mayor. Is that supposed to be like that? Or is it supposed to be all under the police chief?
I think
it's page 8.
Yes, I think you, we had to get this out, and we were still messing with the city attorney with the final language, so I think I can read to you what it would say now, because we know what it basically says. If you want to pull the ordinance up.
It's page 8 in our packet.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about that, because I was like, it changed mayor to police chief, but then mayors throughout the rest of it, so I was just wondering if they're all getting changed to police chief.
Historically, it was the code enforcement person who was going to do parking enforcement work.
Yeah, so that's...
And then it became, you have to go through the academy and such.
Okay.
So this seems to clarify it.
And I don't need exact wording, it just made, I was just...
Yeah, the whole, it actually completely got changed around, and I was going to bring up the new language. It was one that we were still trying to, sometimes deadlines and waiting for city attorneys don't always line up, and so I knew that amendment would be off a little bit, but we wanted to get it out, so just kind of drive for a second.
So we will see the updated version next time.
Yeah, I'll show you the updated version right now if you just... I'm still on Kennedy's computer. She's being very nice to me. Let's skip that one. We'll circle back to it real quick. I just want to see you guys to see it before the public hearing. That's always been my promise.
Right away.
So continuing down the list, Amendment 2 clarifies that a right-of-way permit is required for any time you're working in the right-of-way or obstructing the right-of-way. Common sense implies that if you're in the right-of-way, you would need a permit from the city. However, the language in the code specifically didn't state that. So the amendment clarifies that when private parties are doing work or impeding the flow of traffic or pedestrians, they need to have a right-of-way permit from the city to make sure, A, that any traffic control is there, needs to be there, and making sure that the person doing the work within the right-of-way has insurance in case there is an accident. So that's what that amendment's about.
What do we define as the right-of-way?
The right-of-way is the
road to...
It's the right-of-way line. It's not just the paved surface, but it's the right-of-way line to the right-of-way line. It's the kind of property that the city controls for that quote-unquote right-of-way, and we do have them mapped.
On the side of the road.
It could be the side of the road, and it could be 5 feet, it could be 20 feet. It just depends on the road, but it's the right-of-way that was dedicated to the city, and if anything happens within the confines of those two lines, it's within the city's right-of-way, and the city can be held liable for it. So we want to make sure that if you're within those two confines, that you've got the appropriate permits, and the traffic control is being done correctly.
Thank you.
Recording is on.
And then mute your speaker. The second is the enforcement. Currently, the only enforcement mechanism is if you violate the right code, is for me to charge you with a misdemeanor. We thought that was a little heavy-handed, so we basically have adopted the same code enforcement procedures that allows for a notice of violations or other enforcement mechanisms as necessary to correct the violation. All right, so going back to the first one, there is the way, the language is changed. The police chief shall designate one or more employees of the police department to serve as a parking enforcement officer. Said officer shall be given a limited commission by the mayor, or sorry, by the police chief, and be under the supervision of the police chief or designee. Strike out all the other stuff because it doesn't need to be there, and then this is the section shall not relieve a full, relieve or limit full commissioned officers of the city from performing parking enforcement duties as may be assigned.
Will they hire for that position specifically, or do they have somebody just in their work?
It could be a CSO. It could be just an officer. The biggest change was we can't give the code enforcement officer a limited commission direct tickets. Because the code enforcement officer does not work in the police department. He's not a trained police officer. Hasn't gone through the police training stuff.
The training, you know, state law requires it. An officer has to have been through the academy within a certain period of years. So if they have somebody who's a retiree working for them,
How the police chief is going to implement it, I'm leaving that to the police chief. But it has to be, it's his discretion. It could be a CSO that's already there. It could be police officers. You're going to do it. It was just this code didn't line up with the state law, so we had to correct the code to make sure that it was consistent with state law. It may be there's no change at all, but there's always this kind of, well, why don't we just make the code enforcement officer do it? And we're like, well, with this change of state law, one, code enforcement officers don't have limited commissions, and two, they're not employed by the police department, so they can't get a limited commission, and so this code was not consistent with that state law, so we're just updating the code to be consistent with state law. How the police department's going to implement it, I think I'm just deferring that to the police chief. I wouldn't want to speak for how he runs his department. The number four, last year, this was a goofy one and caught us by surprise. Last year, in June, the city adopted some changes to our sewer code that provided some additional exemptions to when sewer connections were mandatory. For some reason, the same provisions that existed in our sewer code were copied and identical in the water code. And the changes we made were to the water code. So when people were going to the sewer code to look for the exemption, they couldn't find them because they were only made in the water code. So we're really not changing anything other than getting rid of the exemptions to the sewer requirements that were in the water code and just putting the same provisions that are already adopted into the sewer code. It's a true housekeeping thing. Unfit buildings. The council adopted the appellate hearing examiner and amended the code back in June to identify the appellate hearing examiner as the hearing examiner that would hear appeals of unfit dwellings. However, we didn't update Title 14 at the same time, so there was an inconsistency between Chapter 2.18 of the Municipal Code and 14.130.160. So this simply just amends the code to say that the appellate hearing examiner is the party that hears appeals of unfit dwelling unit determinations, consistent to what's already in the code in 2.8. Number six just clarifies that the notice of an amendment to the development regulations or comprehensive plan has to be published in the newspaper within 10 days. That one right there. Clarifies that it has to be published within 10 days. And then we've updated our SEPA code and some amendments to the development regulations are categorically exempt from SEPA, so this section really didn't read correctly. So we're just saying they have to ensure compliance with the city's SEPA code as adopted by Title 16. And that the notice has to be published in the newspaper 10 days, which is what's required under RC 35A-6307. Amendment 7 amends the definition of governmental signs to include banners, basically temporary signs posted by the city at the city's posting locations. It wasn't clear that those were governmental signs. The next amendment relates to temporary signs as well. The amendment would prohibit temporary signs along the SR 410 right-of-way between Veterans Memorial Drive and the city limits. Also within the flow line of a stormwater ditch. We don't want those things getting swept down into catch basins or plugging up pipes that go underneath driveways. And that also, you can't attach it to publicly owned infrastructure within the public right away. And it clarifies that the signs can be destroyed without notice. Sometimes they get destroyed when we're removing them because they like to staple them to telephone poles. Mm-hmm. And just the act of us trying to get them off destroys them. So those were the amendments to the temporary sign code.
On the page 10.
Of the ordinance or?
The definitions, just that G. It says temporary signs posted at city posting locates. Is that?
Oh, should be locations. Okay. Thank you. I'll fix that.
So basically, no signs on either side of the road on 410 from Veterans to like halfway down the hill.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And that's really because it's a safety issue because you're walking on the highway to post any signs there. You're parking on the highway to post signs there. It's not a safe place to be walking. So, and it gets consistent with the recent Supreme Court decisions. It's a time, place, manner, and restriction. Applies to all temporary signs and where they can be placed and the times that they can be placed. And it's a safety issue. Same reason we don't allow signs in the medians.
Yeah.
There's no way to walk safely there. There's no way to park your car. So that's why that.
It totally makes sense.
Boundary is done that way.
Jason, quick question.
Yeah.
Again, on page 10, there's marquee, and then there says marquee sign. But marquee only has one set of quotes around it. Should there be two sets?
I don't know. I can look back at that. That wasn't part of this package. That's existing code language.
Yeah, under 3, it's just marquee sign language.
Yeah, it's probably just a typo. We can go look at that.
Okay.
Probably when we were doing the adding the numbering.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. I added those to the list. All right. Number 9, we recently adopted and this really applies to numbers 9 and 10. We recently adopted a fee, all our fees by resolution versus ordinance. So these sections were referring to specific sections that had fees in them. Now we're referencing to the chapters that just say, and if you go to 3.68, it says the fees are set by chapter. So that's what that change is, just to reflect that there's no longer a 13. Those codes language doesn't exist. But if you go to chapter 3.68030, it says fees are set by resolution. The reason I don't put the resolution number in here is because every time you amend the resolution, I'd have to come back and amend the ordinance. So it kind of defeats the purpose. So I just reference the chapter that says all fees are set by resolution, and then we don't have to amend this language anymore. Under the definition of urban forestry, we're excluding arborvitae from the definition of tree. Technically, arborvitaes are trees. People don't think of them as trees. They think of them as hedges. We don't think of them as trees. But technically, under the current code language, if you want to cut down an arborvitae of a certain size, you'd have to get a permit. So we thought that was kind of same reason we got rid of alderwood and cottonwoods. And the other thing we added was, and the code already provides for this in 1666-040C, but when people are looking at the definition, they're not looking at that code section as well. So we just want to add a clarifying statement that these exemptions don't apply within critical areas or Class 2 landslide hazard areas. So the code, that's already in the code, but when people go to the definition, it just doesn't say that. So they're like, well, where is that in the code? And we have to show them the other code section. So just trying to provide some clarity. And I explained to people, when we're doing wetlands, we're planting alder. That's the first plant you plant with alder. You do alder staking because they're the first trees that you put into wetland buffers and wetland areas because they love water. They grow fast. So with it, and it's a little different within critical areas. So that's why the exemptions for alderwood and cottonwood don't apply within critical areas. But outside of critical areas, all three of these would now be not considered trees. You can remove them without any permit. We won't care. And last but not least, this also kind of updates some weirdness in our code. There's a one section sentence in chapter 19.14.010 that says that the police department is responsible for all code enforcement, which has never been true. We don't know why it got put in the code. And so just to make our code clean and not have weird language in it, we're repealing that section of code, that whole chapter. If you go to chapter 19.14.010, it's just in the repealer. It's the first repealer. If you actually went to chapter 19.14, it's got one section of code, which is 19.14.010, and it has one sentence. The police department is responsible for code enforcement of the development code, which isn't true. It's the code enforcement officer. And if he said that, then the code enforcement officer has to transfer it over to the PD, and the code enforcement officer is then the police department's then responsible for all zoning infractions. And don't know why that was in the code, so we removed that out of the code and repealed that section. So I can answer any questions. We will have a public hearing. There might be some small tweaks to the language because I just got the legal review back, but not any big changes to what we talked about. There will be a public hearing on December 7th. For these amendments.
December 6th,
yes, I apologize. It was December 7th last year, so December 6th.
Back in the sewer section, there's just a couple of things where it talks about if the sewer services is available. There's a few different places like that where it's plural on services, and I'm not sure it's supposed to be.
You have like a marked up one?
I do, yeah.
If you just want to give that to me, I'll gladly take it.
I can do that.
I will always help Glenn say, if you have English corrections, throw them my way. I do not claim to be an English professor.
All right.
Today I made my staff print stuff out, and then I realized we missed the word and had to reprint it.
Oh, no.
So it happens. But yeah, no, I will gladly take any of those types of corrective changes. So if you just want to throw them at me, we can take a look and tweak it. Whether it's existing language that should be corrected or it was bad language that we added, we can correct it either way.
Any questions?
These were pretty minor this year.
Thank you for the hard work.
No problem. I'm trying to stay on top of it.
Yeah. Now, is December going to be one meeting? Or two?
Just one.
Just one.
I was going to go over that in the staff comments.
Okay.
What your schedule.
So let's move on to that. For the good of the order, correspondence?
None.
Staff comments.
So under staff comments, yes, December 6th will be your only meeting in December. I am still planning to have the January 3rd meeting. It can be a quick meeting. The only thing on the agenda will be the election of officers, because I like to try to do that before we get into the joint meeting, which is scheduled for January 16th, that second Tuesday or third. Yeah, January 16th will be the joint meeting. So at 6 o'clock, joint meeting with City Council and the Planning Commission. And there'll be two things on the agenda. They've already been cleared. One is the report out on our kind of our implementation report from our last comprehensive plan. You know, what we did, what we accomplished, how did the performance measures look. And then the other one will be the costing and kind of presentation on the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Open Space Plan. We decided to do that as a joint meeting versus two separate meetings. So those will be your meetings for January. So December 6th, which is your normal meeting, January 3rd, which would be your normal meeting. I don't plan on having anything on that agenda other than election of officers. And if there's questions about the joint meeting, we can answer those. But the topics are already there.
Joint meetings, they start at 5:30, was that correct?
Oh, 6.
It is 6, okay, thank you.
At least that's the current plan. If it changes, I will, we will let you know, but right now.
I just try to put in my calendar.
Yeah, yeah, so right now the current thinking is 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
Jason, would you comment on the commissioner terms?
Yes. Let me wrap up the agenda stuff, and then I will. That was the second item on my thing.
Thank you.
So December 6th, you will have two items on the agenda. One is a public hearing for the comp plan of these amendments, as we talked about. The second is a presentation by the traffic consultant who's doing the intersection control analysis evaluations for Veterans Memorial Boulevard and Angeline, which we've already decided is kind of going to be a roundabout, but we wanted to do a presentation, but also then Church Lug and West Taps, and there's three options for that. So they're going to come and do a presentation to the Planning Commission. We're also opening up to the public. We mailed out notices to everyone within 600 feet of both those intersections today. We're also going to put it out to our planning notification list in public. I don't know how many people will show up, but it's going to be almost like a public hearing where we have the consultant do the presentation and let them provide comments or ask questions. Try to get things wrapped up at the end of the year. It was a little awkward, but we figured that would be the best option. And you'll get a copy of all that in your packet, the reports and everything going forward. So, yes, commissioner terms. As you know, I believe the election is all done, and Commissioner Hubler has won a seat on the city council. So her chair will definitely be up for reappointment next year. I think it's only a partial term because I don't think her term expired. And then I'm not sure. I think we have two or three of the other chairs whose term expires in April of next year. So in January or February, we will do a call for applications. And there was a change to the rules for the Planning Commission a couple years ago when we got rid of all the commissions and went to one that if you're a sitting commissioner, I think Commissioner Ben, you went, and Commissioner Dole, you went through this already, that you have to basically reapply to be back on the commission. The theory was, not that any commissioner is good, bad, great, not great, was that council members stand for election every 4 years, and the public's allowed to weigh and try to get into those seats, and these are not meant to be lifetime appointments, so we figured the fairest way would be to open it up to everybody. Not to say you won't get reappointed. Commissioner Binion and Commissioner Dole were both reappointed. But just to be aware of that. So when you get that, you'll get a much shorter application than the one you filled out to be on. I think Commissioner Wilkins was part of that pool that we went through last year as well through the interview process. It's a little different than we used to do. We're trying to be more transparent in how we pick commissioners. But it's a one-page application you fill out that says, yes, I want to stay on the Planning Commission, and here's why. The one that Commissioner Wilkins filled out to be a new commissioner is a much longer one. So that will come out in January. I think Commissioner Solom, I think you're on the list, and I think Commissioner Sarver's on that list. I think maybe you.
I think so, too.
Gabby, so just know that it's not meant, like I said, it was just try to be as open as we can to everybody. And then just so you know, we are meeting with HOAs this next 3 weeks for the comp plan update. There's a survey going on, so if you haven't taken the survey, don't know your friends and families who've taken the survey, please go online to the survey. If you haven't seen the flyer, Kennedy, can you send it out to the planning commissioners?
Yeah, I can send it out.
Yeah, and if you can forward it out to everybody you know, we're keeping it open until the end of the year, and we'd like to get as much feedback as we can. It's both in English and Spanish. And it's just a QR code. You can scan it with your phone, fill it out, and be done.
Done.
That was it for me. And I can answer. If you guys have any questions or comments, just let me know.
No. Commissioner comments.
Don't forget, first meeting in December is Christmas exchange.
Right.
So how many should we plan for?
5 or 6. Or 7. 7 or 6. depending on if Commissioner Hugo's here. I believe she will be, but.
Yeah.
So, yeah, six or seven.
Because Jason and Kennedy chose not to get any?
Well, we're staff, so anything that we would, you would give us by ethics, we have to put up for the whole floor, so. Just easier for us to stay.
No.
Out of the thing. The commissioners can do what they want, and we're not going to get involved in that.
We good?
We're good.
We're good.
We're very good.
Anything else?
We're going to buy a vest for Karen.
Oh, right. In the past, when McKibben and Lewis moved up to the council, we took up a collection, we bought them a vest that has Bonnie Lake logo on it and their name. I'm going to have to look to see where we can find it, but it was sort of a going away gift. We contributed.
I like it.
Maybe when you find out the cost, maybe
yeah.
Kennedy could just yeah. email us and tell us what our shoe it is.
We would probably just email you and say, Grant found it. Please contact Grant.
Okay. Yeah.
You can do it.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's why you make the big money.
Try to keep our lines clear. Not that we don't think these things are great. Just
don't want to get messed up in it.
I don't want to get messed up in things, and I'm not supposed to get messed up in it.
Well, and so along with that, I mean, again, if you find somebody who does embroidery, if any of the other council members, or excuse me, commissioners would be interested, that would be an opportunity since she'll already have the pattern set up for the, you know, the.
Yeah.
So oh. If anybody else wanted.
Yeah, a shirt or something.
Correct, yeah. So it might be an opportunity that she could give her a couple more things, you know, from a. I don't know what the right thing is. Workload. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're going to go ahead and set it up, you might as well if yeah. somebody else wants something. That's what I'm trying to say.
Because the more you get, the cheaper it goes.
Potentially, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, Grant, if you just want to let us know, we can.
We will gladly, Grant wants to let us know that he's found something. We will gladly pass that. If he found it, contact Grant.
Well, so Jason, where does the city, like the shirt you have on, where do they have those done?
Oh. I'm going to ask Brandy.
Because, I mean, if somebody already has it,
I think it's out of Algona. Yeah, I think it's out of a group out of Algona. I don't know. I just say, hey, Brandy, I need to order these things. And Brandy takes care of it. Brandy's amazing. So we can get that tomorrow and send it out to you guys.
Perfect. Okay. I was just going to say, so might as well use because what we've got available.
It's all set up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
They probably have a catalog.
I just noticed that you had, I was like, I wonder where he got his done. So. Uh-huh.
Yeah, when he showed up with it, remember we asked him about it?
You ask my staff, I have three of these and I rotate them.
We also, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
We also asked if we were going to get one.
Yeah. And now we're not spending any money.
Hey, Jason, is that Brandy Lamberson?
Yes.
Yeah, she's in my neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. We're all amazing in my neighborhood.
She's our administrative assistant on the third floor and has, I mean, she's amazing. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes, yeah, from your neighborhood.
So. Anything else?
For me?
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Did you go, you get a full 10 or are you?
It shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah, you were supposed to sit there, and then Carrie was going to show up, so we switched you over. So you went to
the FBI.
Yeah, yeah.
Considering we're making the big bucks now.
Yeah.
Yes. I wonder if that was accidentally it just stuck to it while they were packaging it.
Isn't it weird?
Good.
Yeah, I was clearly things happen. I know.
I was stuck in traffic.